You gotta get all situated. Okay, one last talk. Do you have it in ya for one last talk? Huh? Yeah, can you stand up and pray for the boys again? And they would finish off their time well.
Yep.
And God would accomplish everything. That'd be great. Thank you, Shelley.
Father God, we just thank you that you're good. We're thankful that you love us. We're thankful, God, that you are for your purpose in our lives and in the young men's lives that are meeting in Wyoming. God, we're just thankful for who you are, for what you say we are in you. God, we just pray that you just continue to do a good work in both these camps, Lord Jesus, by your grace. God, we're just thankful that you bring to completion a good work.
Amen.
The work that you started, God, you are gracious and merciful to that, God, and we can trust you for that, Lord. I just pray, God, you continue to help us to hang in there, to not give up, to continue to pay attention, to trust you with what's given to all of us, the young men and the young women. God, I just pray for the speakers this evening, Lord Jesus, that you grant them grace and mercy, that you give them clarity, Lord Jesus, that you would give them words from your very own heart, God, by your grace. And pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just continue to build men and women that love you and that desire what you desire for the sake of your glory, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thanks, Shelley. Okay, we have one more talk. We're going to wrap around. We've done home. Morgan did home. Kim Hirota did church. Cindy Sokol did world. Laura Polk did future. And we're going to come back to soul. Okay, so I'm going to go back to soul again, and we're going to finish there. I rewrote some of this afternoon, depending on where I felt like we were as a in the process. So if your handout does not follow along perfectly with what's up there, that was kind of intentional. I took some stuff out that I didn't feel like needed to be said again. Maybe it was said beautifully, maybe in the question and answer it was said, and tried to whittle it down to how did I sense that it would be a good way to finish it off, okay? And there is going to be a little bit of wrapping around here. So bear with me on your handouts, scratch out, you know, if you don't get all your blanks, understand, that's probably intentional. So I personally feel like it has been a very powerful conference, and I feel like a lot of truth has been shared from a lot of the speakers. I think the gals came full of faith. I think the gals came, they had gone before the Lord. I sensed that. And I sensed that you gals received. This morning, I asked how many of you were overwhelmed. There was a fair number of hands that raised. My heart tonight is to finish us in a good spot, finish us in a spot of faith, a spot where we can go home and walk this. So these are just a few thoughts that I have to encourage you in that. Okay, for 2 days, 10th and the 11th, this is the end of the 11th. For 2 days, you have been presented with God's perspective on biblical womanhood. You've also been given an opportunity to look at all aspects of your life. If you remember from the first night, your life will never get bigger than this. It will always have these dimensions to it. Joy Everhart said to me, "Oh, Kath, I wish the t-shirts would have had the emblem with hope, you know, all the aspects of it." So I can remember that. This is how God expresses himself. These are your relationships that you're going to walk in your whole life. So for 2 days, you've been richly presented with that kind of a context, okay? You've also been given a different race, okay? You've been presented with the world's perspective and what the world has to offer you, and you've been presented with a different perspective. Race of faith, if you will. This has been put up several times by several speakers, at least Cindy and I, multiple times. This resonates with Cindy and I. And so this is kind of what we have presented you, is a choice, an option. We've tried to describe the fruit of both and what your life is going to look like in the context of both. Now, from this point, there's a whole life ahead of you to live in this. and to apply faith in this. And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about tonight. Submitting is hard. That's on your blanks. I kept that one in. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. I think when the word submission came up, a lot of times it was in the context of male leadership and being under a headship. In the very, very real part of this, all of this kind of comes to submitting yourself to God and following, if you go back to the path scenario, following the path that God has given you in His Word. A lot of scripture has been shared this weekend. Some speakers even address verses multiple times, things to take home. Those are verses that I call handles. Those are verses that I call application, things that you can hold on to, that you can apply your heart down to. But I want us to understand and remind us and send us home with this. Submitting is hard. Why? Because it whittles down to a trust issue. Submitting in your life whittles down, submitting to your parents whittles down to a trust issue. Submitting in the moms in the room whittles, if you're married, it whittles down to trusting, and trust issue of trusting. But the question is at the very bottom of it, if you peel it all away, it's a trust issue with the Lord, okay? Proverbs 3:5, many of you know this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, even in the questions, there was the questions, you know, there is a wrestle there because we understand things a certain way, maybe how we've been presented them or how we've thought about them. And then we're kind of given this other scenario, this other road. There's two roads there, your understanding and how you think it's right or what the Word says. And there's a trust issue there. Who are you going to trust in that? Here's the real question. Who's in charge? Look at it. Me. Who's in charge? Are you in charge? If you're in charge, you're going to take a certain path. And to take the other path means that you're not going to be in control. Wince with me. You're not going to be in control of your life. You're not going to be in control of what happens. You cannot make things happen on your own strength. You're going to trust the Lord, okay? Who's in charge? And boy, this image is presented to us all the time, this strong woman, this woman that has it all together, this woman, don't mess with me. If you mess with me, you're going to get it. I mean, this is who the world gives us. But we have to really think through, who am I going to let be in charge of my life? Am I going to relinquish control and trust God with my life? Trust God with what happens when a curveball is thrown your way and something happens that you don't expect or that you didn't plan on or that you didn't hope in. Can you turn to the Lord and trust the Lord with that, or does it cripple you? Trust God with things that you don't know that's going to happen in your future, maybe hard things, and I'm going to talk about a couple hard things in my life that I went through, but the real question is, will you relinquish control of your life and let God be in charge? Who's in charge? She's got a whole bunch of thinking going on, doesn't she? A whole bunch of emotions, and her emotions are the biggest thing in her life. Look at her eyes. She's got her emotions trapped very clearly. It's very easy to go on our emotions. If we get frustrated, if we get stressed out, if we get angry, it's very easy to let them just step right into the driver's seat for that moment and let God doesn't have control. And it's a hard issue to yield. And that's why submitting is so hard. Submitting is trusting God. It's not trusting man. It's not trusting Stephen. Stephen's not perfect. Newsflash. Stephen's not perfect. He's just a man, and he's trying to follow the Lord. He doesn't do a perfect job, but at the end of the day, and the truth of the matter, it's more about my relationship with the Lord than whether Stephen deserves it. And I think that's just a huge issue. Our emotions can easily be in the driver's seat. We're fine. If everything's going our way, then we're good and peaceful and in the spirit. But if things don't go our way, then we're, whoa, and I can be that way too. You know, I can get a phone call and be charged up. I can get a, well, I just started texting Wednesday, so I won't use that example. But I can get a email and go, rattle my cage. right? When my cage is rattled, I am in control. And I am not trusting the Lord. My kids can rattle my cage. My husband can rattle my cage. The mailbox can rattle my cage. Anything can rattle my cage on any given good day. A bad day, I guess, okay? So our emotions, we have to recognize your emotions are something that is separate than from you. It is something that happens to you, but you get a choice on whether your emotions take the driver's seat. You can say, I feel really frustrated, but that is not going to take the driver's seat. I am a woman that walks in the Spirit, and I feel frustrated. Yes, I feel this way, but that is separate than who I am, and walk in something different. And we're going to talk about how much practice that takes. A lot. Okay? Who wins? You choose. You choose who wins the battle of who's in charge. Okay? Favorite verse, one of my absolute favorite verses. I've walked many, many miles praying over this verse and reproving myself over and over and over and over again on this verse. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Kathleen Nelson, in quietness and trust is your strength. Isn't that amazing? In quietness and trust. Not being in control, not making things go my way, being flexible in quietness and trust is my strength. And then look at that last part. But you would have none of it. We get a choice whether we embrace this and step into this. Can we step into quietness and trust? And the end of that verse just kind of pierces me every time, because how many times would I say, no, I will have none of that. I'm frustrated and I'm in control. And I'm going to do it on my strength. And quietness and trust is my strength, but you would have none of it. And just for us to really wrap our hearts around that scripture, it's a beautifully powerful scripture to just meditate on. I mean, this has probably been one of my biggies the last several years of working through and praying through and asking God to give me quietness and trust, and that would be my strength.
One.
Oh, and a mom.
Oh, great. We had a mom.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Lexi. That's super helpful. All right. God's yoke is easy. Okay? Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. This is the only time in Scripture where Jesus describes himself. Isn't that neat? And he uses these two words. The Lord says, I am gentle and humble in heart. So you remember from the first night when we said, God, mess with me, and we opened up that person and said, here's my heart, mess with me. And I know several people were like, I am not okay with that, right? The Lord describes himself as he is gentle and humble in heart. Isn't that beautiful? And you will, underline the word will, you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm a farm girl from Iowa, and no, we did not have oxen. But the way the world goes, oxen is the frame that is over the oxen is called a yoke. Okay? And that yoke, God does put definition into our lives. He does put design on us. Have we heard this whole conference about the design that God has put on our lives? Absolutely. God puts a yoke on us. He lovingly puts a yoke on us. In his best heart, with the best intentions, he puts a yoke on you. And his yoke are all those words that we don't fully get and understand and even receive. A gentleness, a quietness, a submissiveness, a trusting, modesty. This is God's yoke that he puts on Kathleen Nelson. He says, I love you so much, I'm putting this on you, and I want you to walk in these boundaries. And the very best I can give you is if you will not fight against my yoke. If you will not fight against the boundaries that I have lovingly put on your life. And man, girls, you probably don't realize this, but I have kind of a feisty attitude. And it takes me a while to settle down and yield. In fact, I often say, I have 8 kids because the Lord knew she needed to be under the gun and under my hand and under She couldn't squirm because he knew it was going to take a long time to get me to settle. And I kind of do feel like that. I feel like it's taken me a long time to settle. But if you understand, God's yoke is a lovely design. Every aspect of it, even the aspects that you don't understand, even the aspects that are hard, in love, he has put this on you and given you these boundaries. This scripture is beautiful. 1 John, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord's commands, his design is not burdensome. And I think for you to tell yourself that over and over again, the boundaries that God has put on my life, the structure and the definition that he has given is the most loving thing for me. I will experience the most life in that. I will experience the most freedom in that. I will experience just everything good as I stop fighting against his boundaries, as I stop fighting against it. And he even says his yoke is easy and light. His yoke is easy and light that he has given you. I love that. So here's what it comes down to. Will you throw your white flag and say, I submit to your design. I submit to your design of womanhood. I submit to everything that you have put out in your scripture, and Lord, I don't get it, and it's hard for me, and I don't understand it, but I will try to walk. I throw my white flag. I yield, God, okay, I'm going to try to walk this. Couple thoughts here. As you focus on God, is this on your sheet? Underline, and not yourself, you become someone different. As you focus on God and not yourself, you become someone different. It is very easy to try to understand ourselves. It is very easy to put all our effort into understanding who we are. In fact, Kim Perota had an interesting question. What was the question about? Who are you? Or something.
What makes you you?
Who are you and what makes you you? That was a crazy question. Do you guys think that was a crazy question? I'm kind of like, I'll think about that the next year. And there is this element where I think the world subtly tells us, you just focus on who you are. Figure out who you are. Take your personality test. Take your, just figure out how you function. And I would just encourage you, I would not encourage you to take that road. I would not encourage you to figure out who you are. Because here's, and bear with me, I can feel you guys. You're not so sure about me tonight, all right? So bear with me. I think the Lord reveals to us who we are and what we need to know about ourselves as we focus on him. I don't think we have to focus, I don't have to focus on me. I can put my focus on the Lord, and then I walk along, I focus on the Lord, and I realize, Kathleen, you are a complete scoundrel. You're a rascal, and you're ornery. Okay, Lord, I get that, and I'm going to keep focusing on you, and we're going to change in those things. But I feel like there can be a lot of effort, especially in the teenage world. Everybody seems very focused on themselves, because you're kind of starting to do it alone. You're starting to do some things outside of mom and dad. And I know my kids even, you know, it's a different season. It's a new season. You're starting to do things without mom and dad. I would encourage you to focus on the Lord and let him reveal things about you to yourself as you focus on him. Does that make sense? Okay, here's my verse. 1 Corinthians 8:3, whoever loves God is known by God. So it can be really easy to spend our energy on understanding ourselves and being known. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's in relationship. It's in home, church. In those relationships, we want meaningful relationship, which means we need to be known. But you need to understand you are already known. You are known by your Creator in a complete way. He gets you. He gets every part of you. He gets why you do what you do. He gets why you think like you think. He gets all the traits you got from your mom, all the traits you got from your dad, and all the traits that have nothing to do with either one of them. That's about His design on your life. He gets all of that. And so, for me, that has taken off some of the pressure for people to know me, because I'm known by God. Now, I still want people to know me. I definitely want Stephen to listen to me and hear my heart, you know, and I get kind of fussy if he doesn't do that. So we're all like that. We want relationship, and God designed us in relationship. But I want you just to remember, I am completely known by God. God gets me. He understands me, and He can reveal to me what I need to understand about myself. I don't have to go down this road of figuring out myself. I need to put my eyes on the Lord and let Him reveal me to me, basically, what He knows about me. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm gonna get off that gerbil wheel and go to the next slide. You ready? You need to invest. Go home and invest. This picture is in my bedroom. This is one of my favorite pictures of all time. This is the woman that you can ask my children, this is who I want to become. This is my model. I love her. I don't know her, but I love her. She is actually sitting in a shelter during a hurricane on a wooden chair reading her Santa Biblia. She is a Mexican woman or a Hispanic woman, and you can see her. I said, the kids are like, are you going to wear that? I'm like, yeah, I think I am. I think I'm going to become that woman in every sense of the word. There is something beautiful about her. I think, my kids aren't so sure. I think there's something very beautiful about her. There is a hurricane going on outside. She's sitting in a shelter. She's calm. She's quiet. And she's reading the word. I want to be that woman. I do want to dress like her. I like her. Everything about her I like. I like her wrinkles. I like her gray hair. I love her. And I want to be that woman in the sense of, this is where my anchor is. This is who I am. If you know Kathleen Nelson, then you know this about me. This is who I am. And so this is my woman. But guess what? She has had to invest many, many years to be this woman. She doesn't just have a hurricane. Now, if she had this frantic look on her face and she was reading her Bible, you would be like, well, that's understandable. There's a hurricane going on outside. Does she look frantic? No. Does she look completely calm in the midst of it all? Yes. That took years of investment to get to be that woman. Years. She would have had to walk with the Lord for many, many years to have that kind of a calm face in the midst of chaos. And I like the word invest. I love the word invest. In fact, one of my years, that was my word. That was my word for the year, invest. We all choose what to invest in. We all choose where we spend our time and where we give our heart, our affections. I love the word invest, and you get to choose what to invest in. And so it's kind of laid before you. Each day, I need to let God's word interrupt me, rearrange me, and redirect me. And that's investing. If the word is not doing these things to you, then you need to invest more. More time, more heart, more energy. If you cannot say to me, the word interrupts my life, the word rearranges me, the word redirects me, all those things the word should be doing. I think sometimes we can be believers and we can have our quiet times and we're faithful to have our quiet times, but the truth of the matter is the word is not deep enough in our life to do anything. It doesn't stop us in our tracks. It doesn't throw any red flags for us. And we go through our day doing our own thing, thinking our own thoughts, having our own emotions, having the same triggers that set off certain emotions, and the next morning we get up and we have a quiet time. And we go through that day and we have the same thoughts and the same emotions and the same attitudes of the heart and the same frustrations, and we get up the next day and we have our quiet time. And nothing ever changes. because the word is not deep enough to interrupt us. Think about that. Think about, has there ever been a time in your life where the word has just, you have not done something because the word says this, or you have done something because the word says? That's interrupting you. That is you going, being redirected by the word. And I would encourage you to spend enough time in the word meditating and memorizing that it stops you in your tracks at times, that it stops you cold, and you take a breath and you don't do what you were going to do, or you don't say the words you were going to say, or you don't react the way you would normally react. And that is the word interrupting you. So I would just encourage you to invest at that level and look for that in your life. Think about that a minute. Is that happening in my life? Am I in the word enough that it is stopping me? Or it is making me do things? And just to become that woman and pursue that woman. Okay? You have to eliminate. Go home and eliminate. You can't just invest in the word. You have got to eliminate other voices out of your head. The truth of the matter is, you can't handle it. I can't handle it. You cannot handle receiving all of these messages from the word, the world, and get your little half hour of quiet time and win in this battle. It ain't gonna happen. Promise. I promise you it ain't gonna happen. Some of this has got, I don't even know what some of these words are, but some of this has got to be eliminated. And you've got to make a choice in faith to say, I am not going to let that into my heart. I am not going to receive that. That is not healthy for me. It might be healthy for everybody else around me, but not me. Everybody else seems, my kids tell me this, everybody else seems to handle it, Mom. What's wrong with me? Why don't I handle this stuff well? It's like, they aren't handling it, honey. They just think they're handling it. They just act like they could take it. It seems like they can watch some movies and not be bothered. They're bothered. They have the spirit in them. They're wrong for them, too. Make that call. Don't look around you and go, well, everyone else seems to be okay. I guess I can do it, too. It's like, no, what's best for you? What's best for your life? Are you willing, in faith, to eliminate some of that? Are you willing to say, I don't care if my roommates are doing that. I don't care if the other youth group girls are doing that. I don't care if my older siblings are doing that. It's not right for me. It's not good for me. It's not good for my heart. Okay? You need to filter well. Filter it. Filter well. That means stop it. That means you say no to it. You say it's not good, it's not right, it's not honoring to God. Okay? It's interesting because I think we live in such a culture where we receive such information, so much information overload, that we're really numb to it. We're really numb to its influence. We're numb to the subtle messages. We're numb to how it affects us. And we just keep taking it in, and we go to church and we hear a little bit of truth, but then we go back into our world and we get all of this world. It's just information overload. The balance of what we get from the world and what we get from the word is so out of balance in our lives. We get so much more from the world, and we got to realize that's the battleground right there. That is the battleground right there. What you take in, what you allow yourself to take in, is your battle. Okay? Thought life is your real battleground. How you're thinking, how you're processing in your thoughts. And I'm going to share a couple stories about my life. But how many of you have heard women talk, or even pastors talk, about controlling your thought life and taking your thought captive. Thank you, that too. How many of you, everybody, right? We've heard that, right? We know that, but we have to invest there to really regroup our heart and to really, and when I say a true connection will eventually happen, as we battle on that front, as we battle on our thought life, as the word throws a red flag when we're having a thought, and we're like, that is not what the word says, there starts to be connecting points. There starts to be, some things start to make sense to us. Okay. Two biggest trials in my life, and I had full access to the Lord both times. Okay, and I want you to think about, just from my stories. The first one happened in when I was in college, and I think I was a sophomore or a junior in college, and my dad was a deacon in our local church, and my dad had an affair on my mom with my mom's best friend. And they were counseling them in the church on their marriage. So my mom and dad were counseling them, and they were my mom's best friend, and my dad had an affair with her. And to say it was completely tragic would kind of be an understatement. It just rocked our whole family. I have five siblings. It shattered our family. My mom was, of course, heartbroken. My mom actually stayed married to him and let him live in the house for 2 full years, knowing he was having an affair with her best friend. And the affair was going on the whole time, and my mom knew it. But what I did not do well in that trial. I knew the Lord Jesus. I had been saved for several years. But what I want you to understand is, for the, let's just say, the 300 days before this trial came into my life, I had not been tracking well spiritually. I had been floundering. I had been making choices that gave the world a lot of room. I was very, very focused on myself. I was not focused on the Lord. I was not in fellowship even. I mean, I was kind of going a little bit, but not really in fellowship. And when that tragedy came into my life, it was a very, very dark tragedy, and I did not do well at all with it. Actually, none of my siblings did. It was very painful. My mom was just completely heartbroken. She had given her whole life to raising us kids and loving him, and you know, she didn't have a college degree. She didn't have anything besides that family, and it was ripped away from her. Super painful, very, very hard. And in God's grace, you know, the Lord has healed me from that, but that was very painful. 10 years later, I believe, in 1997, I'm trying to think if that's right, yeah, about 10 years later, we were expecting our fourth baby, and it was going to be a little girl, and the pregnancy was good, the pregnancy was going fine. I was full term. We had put the car seat in the car, we had got the dresser, we had washed all the baby clothes, we had put the baby clothes in the drawers, had a name picked out, and we went into delivery, and as I was trying to deliver, I had been pushing, and her cord was wrapped around her neck, and they told me her cord was wrapped around her neck, which happens in about 1 in 3 babies. And so 1 in 3 babies, that's pretty typical, and the baby comes out, and they pull the cord off, and the baby is resuscitated and makes it. She went to be with the Lord in delivery. Her heart rate, they monitor the heart rate, and the heart rate dropped, and it was all of a sudden, her heart rate dropped, it didn't rebound, so it was all of a sudden, it was this frantic panic, and they wheeled me into ER real fast, and the anesthesiologist winked at me and said, "You're fine, we'll get her," and knocked me out. And I remember, the last thing I remember is the nurse put a stethoscope on my stomach and said, "I got a heartbeat." And I woke up in recovery to my husband standing over me with tears rolling down his face. And we had lost her. And super painful, super painful. Heartbreaking. The 300 days before that, I had been walking with the Lord. And I had been trusting the Lord, and I had been following the Lord, and I was in fellowship the 300 days before that. Very painful, very heartbreaking. Some of you gals in the room were at her funeral. Some of you gals were there with me in this room. Two very painful experiences, and how I did with them was about the 300 days before I knew about them. God was very gracious in both. God was very healing in both. It's part of our story. It's part of our faith. It's part of my kid's story. I would just encourage you gals, you do not know what your life holds. The 300 days before you find out, heartache matters. Fair enough? The 300 days before matter. Hopefully, Lord willing, you're not in the 300 days right now before. But you never know. And when the phone call comes, or the accident happens, or something, there you are before the Lord. When we talk about investing, it all matters. It matters that you get into the Word on Monday. It tracks you down a certain path. Get time alone with God. Just you and Him. I think sometimes it can be easy to have our relationship with the Lord be about our church time, or about our youth group time, or about our small group time. And there needs to be time alone with Him. Time where He can speak into your life. Time where He can minister to you. He wants to minister to you. Through the body, yes. Through your relationships, yes. But also, He wants you to experience Him, and not just the fellowship of the believers. It takes time alone with Him. This is one of my favorite pictures. This is my spot in my life alone with my Lord. It's on my river, down at the end of my street. This is my city. It's a little green there, I admit it. It doesn't always look like that. That's a good day. We do live in the desert. And this is one of the walkways along the river, and I walk the river most days by myself with my truth pack, with the Lord, processing with the Lord, crying before the Lord, with my hands raised, walking with before the Lord, and I'm sure there are people kind of that live along the river that have seen me, that know that woman dressed in black that always walks. I see her a lot out there by herself. It is the time for the Lord to minister to me with nobody else around. It is a precious haven to me. It is my safe place. It is my solace. And it's out in the middle of life. You have to find that place. You've got to find that in your life. You've got to find that spot, or that walk, or that quiet. It's hard sometimes to find that, but you've got to find that to make it. The Lord wants to minister to you and not have it come to someone else. And that's what you're pursuing. One time, I was coming up on the river. We kind of come out of our neighborhood, and we kind of take these canals or these kind of ditches, and you come up on the river. And so you kind of come up on the river. I wasn't particularly in the spirit. I wasn't particularly encouraged that day. I wasn't discouraged either. I was just doing my routine. I was in my 300 days before, walking with the Lord, trusting the Lord, building my storehouse, getting my footers, you know that word? Mm-hmm. Getting my footers underneath me, building my foundation. Came up on the ditch, came around the corner. The sky looked a lot like this, a lot like this. And it was as clear, it was an overwhelming feeling of the Lord saying to me, I see you, and I'm walking. And it was just as clear, I see you. I see you. It wasn't condemning. It wasn't judging. It was the most loving, tender. It just made me shake. Because it was not audible, but it was definitely the presence of the Lord in the most real sense. I have been meditating on this verse, Psalm 41. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. I have been thinking about that. I have been meditating on that. I have been going through that. The Lord has set you in his presence forever. You walk in the presence of the Lord. The Lord sees you. Intimately, tenderly, he says he is gentle and humble. He sees you. He has his eyes on you. He cares. He is watching and looking for relationships. Any opportunity that he can bless, any opportunity that he can minister to you, he sees you. He walks with you. Don't ever forget that. How many times in the scripture that it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It says it over and over again. The Lord wants that to be our anchor. He wants that to be a footer in our lives. And so it's just a very meaningful time to me. I love this picture because the clouds, usually El Paso has no clouds. It has a lot of sun. But on that day, the clouds looked like that. And the Lord was in the clouds. And the Lord was very clear. I see you, Cal. I totally see you. And it was a sweet, sweet, I didn't even know what to say. You know, it was kind of this, okay, I get it. Remember, you are a work in progress. Not all this is going to be accomplished in one day. You are a work in progress. I have two pictures here. One is torrential rain, and the other is a slow, steady snowfall. We can want it fast, we can want it furious, we can want change, we can want it, we can really want it. And if it doesn't come real fast and real furious, then we lose heart. And often it is in the slow, steady, calm snow. You know that snow that falls, it's so tender that there's no wind, that it's quiet. It's in that daily walking with the Lord that he changes you. And so don't look for this. Be willing to invest and go steady, steady with the Lord, and he will change you. So I like those two pictures because I can totally want this. It's like, okay, God, I'm up for it. The next week, let's make it happen. You and me, the next 7 days, I'm marking my calendar. And the Lord is often like, no, let's not do it on your timing. Let's do it daily. Let's minister. Let's be in relationship daily, okay? Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back from the Lord. Here's your verse. Hebrews 10. So do not throw away your confidence, sisters. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Here's your part. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Isn't that beautiful? There have been many times in my life where I've wanted to shrink back. For whatever reason, fear, often frustration, hurt. Don't shrink back. Just know that the Lord is pleased when we don't shrink back. Here's my next point here. Don't forget to repent. Sometimes, I like this little Joy Over Heart helped me find this life-changing event ahead. It's like, it's going to happen, life-changing. I'm going to change my life. But here's your verse on when I say don't forget to repent. I love this verse, Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. What I love about that verse is there are steps in that verse. What is step one? What is step two? What do we often do first? Turn to God. And we don't repent. We don't get ourselves clean before the Lord and get things right. Don't skip this step. Repent first. and then turn to the Lord. And then it says, it gives us a promise, your sins will be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't that good? Repentance, I love, Shelly shared with me a couple years ago, Kath, there's a verse that says, it's in Matthew 3, I think, and it says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. There is fruit in keeping with repentance. I have found that I spent so many years of my life just turning to God. That's just what I did. That's what people told me to do. That's what I knew to do, is to turn to God and get serious, right? And I have found so much joy in repenting first, getting things off my chest. Repent first and then turn to God. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of opportunity to process that before your life tonight. It is very freeing to repent. It is very freeing to go before the Lord and get it off your chest and then turn to the Lord and let him minister to you. So we're going to do this in a little bit, but boy, don't skip this step. In fact, I would say, you know, maybe some of you go, I have to repent. I don't know what I'm going to repent of. That's fine. You don't have to repent. It's not required in this conference for you to repent. But if there's something on your heart, if there's something that you feel like, before the Lord, I want to repent. It's pleasing to the Lord, and it's cleansing to you. So don't forget, don't skip the step of repenting first and then turning to God. Just a couple more slides here. Set your heart. This is a picture of cement being set. Cement, once they set it, Stephen told me it has to be cured, and they have to work with it and daily tend to it. We have to set our hearts, and I'm going to share a couple of scripture here that I have really enjoyed. One is in 2 Chronicles 12. It says, King Rehoboam did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Isn't that good? He had not set his heart on seeking the Lord, and he did evil. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, there is a step here for me. Set my heart on seeking the Lord. And we go back to the first night. I can't do that for you. Your mama can't do that for you. Your girlfriend can't do that for you. That's yours. That's yours to set your heart. Make a decision now. Joshua 1, 7 through 8, love, love, love the scripture. Often go back to this. Always, always, always I'm encouraging this scripture out on the river. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. And often when I'm out on the river, I'm like, Lord, I'm not turning to the right. I'm not turning to the left. My eyes are on you. I have set my heart to seeking you, Lord. You see me. And have fellowship with him in that way. And don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Focus and stay on the Lord, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. It does not say meditate on it in the morning during your quiet times and then put your little Bible away and be done. Meditate on it day and night. And I've tried to practice that, not just at night before I go to bed. And I've tried to encourage my kids, get a little bit of the word before you go to bed. Just get a little nibble, something to put your heart and to fall asleep on. Just get a little something. I always have a tree back above my pillow, and I try to grab a little bit, just something to go to sleep on. And I think that God has ministered even in that little choice. Meditate on it day and night, right before you go to bed. Just get a little nibble, a little verse, something little to hold on to. In the morning when you get up, go before the Lord again. You know, I think there's another one that says, maybe it's a song. Evening and morning and afternoon, I pray. That song, right? A little bit more than even day and night. You know, a lot. Make it a practice so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. In the NLT, interesting wording, it says, only then will you prosper and succeed. Isn't that cool? It says, only then. Like, sorry, girls, all this has got to come first, and then it will happen. And so I love that. Meditate. Become a woman that it's not just a little quiet time in the morning. It's, I'm getting my nibbles. I got to have my nibbles, okay? I memorized this verse many, many years ago. And I love this passage. It has meant the world to me. Psalm 119, 112. I think when we were first married, someone shared this and I memorized it. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Just aside right now, I'm that woman. I'm going to be that woman. That is who I am. I'm going to walk with the Lord all the days of my life. My heart is set there. I don't care what, I don't know what's going to happen, but I am just going to walk with the Lord. Just set your heart that way tonight. That's just who I am. And I think that has helped me a lot anyway. I just have a few more slides. You have been given two things. You have been given a vision of what you can walk in. And you've also been given some practicals, some handles of how to do that. That is what this conference has been about. You've been given those two things. You've kind of been given a picture, if you will, or what the road might look like. And you've been given a lot of practicals of how to do that. If you go back and you pull out next week when you're sitting on your couch or you're with the Lord, you pull out all the practicals that you can get out of these notes. You'll be amazed at how much there is to step into. There's a whole bunch of things that you were given. It's not just the one thing that's on your mind, but if you go back and you dig into those notes, there was a lot given there to step into, okay? You have been given a picture of what to walk in, and you have been given how to do it, okay? You need to respond. Cindy said we are responders, and this is our choice to respond to what you've been given, okay? The next one there, respond according to God's track record with you. If you think about your walk with the Lord so far, what is God's track record with you? Has he been amazingly faithful? Has he been amazingly gracious to you? You guys are all kind of shaking your head. Yes, if you really think about what the Lord's done for you, how many times he's rescued you, how much he's been faithful to you, respond according to what God's track record is. I really like this. I can't remember who shared this with me recently. They talked about God's track record with you. And I'm like, that's an interesting way to put that. God has a track record with each of you. And if your track record with the Lord, if you're like, no, he wasn't totally faithful in this situation, you probably need to get someone to process that with on how you're thinking about that. The Lord says he is faithful to all he has made. He is loving toward all he has made. In Psalms it says that. His track record is really good to give your trust to him. I mean, it's a perfect track record, is it not? He has a perfect track record with you, and he is worthy of trusting. The next picture, what are the words that go to that picture? Absolutely. Lean into it. Embrace it. Take it. His yoke is what? What does it say?
Light and
easy. His boundaries are beautiful on you. And I'm going to finish with one last picture. I think it's the last one. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being this woman that you look in the mirror and you see the fruit of the Lord in your life? That is an amazing picture, and I can imagine that for you girls. I can imagine that, and I hope that that's what I had to share tonight. And so I hope that's a blessing to you. Okay. We're going to go back to this page. What we're going to do next, Steph, can you strum your little guitar and just kind of strum, and make it look pretty. And what we're going to do is we're going to respond. These are, what I would like you to do is you can spread out in this room, but I would like you to write a letter to the Lord. I would like you to respond to the Lord. Share your heart. The first time we talked about the verse, pour out your heart like water before the Lord. This is your response. You do not have to share it with anybody. You can even get rid of it afterwards, but I would like you to process before the Lord. Perhaps you have to process before people, Shelley from the Health Subsidy District.
We have more.
Do we have more? Well, we have something like that somewhere. We have some little white sheets that, there's nothing special about this paper. It was left over. Oh, yeah, and you have a journal. You can write your journal. Okay, who's going to use their journal instead? Okay, who wants paper?
Oh, we got it.
And you got about it spread out. Don't let anybody see your response to the Lord.
Get along the walls or stay in your seat. No words. And this is your response. Okay? I should do it too, shouldn't I?